Award-winning journalists. New York Times bestsellers. No topic out of bounds. No opinions left unsaid. An institution for sports talk and information. This is The Sports Reporters. Here's Mike Lupica, Mitch Albom, and Bob Ryan.
I'm Mike Lupica, MLB.com and New York Daily News.
I'm Mitch Albom of the Detroit Free Press.
And I am Bob Ryan. Proud to know these gentlemen. We are the Sports Reporters. We're with you. I'm from the Boston Globe and ESPN, as far as some of my credentials. We are with you each Monday and Thursday, and we are delighted to be here. And, of course, it is football season in full swing. Baseball coming to an end. Gentlemen, I'm not going too crazy here, but last night, I'm sitting in my room, in my living room, by myself, watching an athletic event. And during the course of this event, as I'm watching one spectacular play after another, I am saying, now, this is why we're sports fans. I had no dog in this hunt, guys. I didn't care who won. I had nothing against anybody in this, especially I just was enjoying the spectacle of this fantastic game between the Ravens and the Chiefs. And this, to me, I'm seriously, this is what being a sports fan is all about, enjoying a game like this. And there was so many plays to comment upon about.
Wow! Start with the last one.
They go for fourth and one to put it away on their own 44. Was it that big a no-brainer? That's pretty much a no-brainer, isn't it?
Not based on the history of John Harbaugh. He hadn't done it in that kind of situation hardly ever. But I'll take what you said and move it one degree further. I did care who won. I wanted to see the Ravens take down the Chiefs for once, because these are two of the great young quarterbacks in the game, and it was starting to become lopsided. It was starting to become one of those, you know, monkey on the back things that every time they play, they just have the dominance. Lamar Jackson needed this win in his sort of legacy that's running parallel to Patrick Mahomes, and the Ravens needed this win against the Chiefs, and the Ravens did not want to start a season down. Neither team obviously wants to start season down 0-2, but the Ravens didn't want to start a season 0-2. And I just thought that it all came together in that moment, that fourth and one. You knew Jackson was going to run it. You knew he was going to say, let's go for it. You knew Harbaugh was going to trust him to say, let's go for it. It had been that kind of a night all night long, and I'm happy that they got a notch in their belt now. You know, Kansas City is touchable to the Baltimore Ravens.
You know, Bob, Kevin Clark, who's a very good NFL writer for The Ringer, reminded us with a piece he wrote a couple years ago. Bob, do you remember? He said Belichick kind of started changing people's thinking about fourth and one that people thought were crazy with a fourth down try deep from in his own territory against the Colts in a game like 10 years ago.
Yep.
And do you remember the game? Because Kevin maintains, I think he's right, that people have reexamined the risk-reward of what Harbaugh did. And I think Al or Chris said last night, when Harbaugh, he was like a lawyer in court asking a question that he already knew the answer to. What do you think Lamar Jackson was going to say when he asked him if they wanted to go for it?
Right.
But you know what? Here's my takeaway. And, you know, it's a shame for the Chiefs that the game essentially ended for them on a fumble, okay, on a simple running play up the middle. But boy, oh boy, did we see the possibilities once more of Lamar Jackson last night.
Did we ever?
And the jump hook pass, he is a human highlight film. And again, this is on a day when we'll talk about him later. Kyler Murray had a game of his own, okay? But Lamar Jackson on nights like this, guys, makes you think that he can do the thing that we've been hoping he could do since he was a rookie.
I was reminded again last night, speaking of his running, we were in an era of mobile quarterbacks. You know, we had Russell Wilson show us how to do it. We've got Murray showing us how to do it now. We've got Mahomes who can move. But this is a different level. This is the greatest running quarterback that God has ever put on this earth.
So, Bobby.
I know. I'm going to get to that. I got a list of stuff here, Mike, out of this game that I got, you know, that we have to touch upon because they're notable things. I'm just saying, he runs with power. And you know, evasiveness together in a package that we have never seen. We've got evasive quarterbacks now.
Can I ask you a question? Can I ask you guys a question? Is he the best running back in pro football? I'm serious.
Well, you know, yeah. I mean, that's not a bad question. There aren't too many running backs that have back-to-back 100-yard games. He's capable of all that. And you know, this was a game of mistakes as well, though. On both sides, both quarterbacks. You know, Lamar Jackson threw two interceptions in the first quarter. It did not look like this was not a perfect game by Lamar Jackson by any means, but it wasn't a perfect game by Patrick Mahomes either. You know, they basically, what they had, an 11-point lead late in the third quarter. He throws a dumb interception, one of those, I'm going to make it, you know, he's being dragged to the ground.
It's a hero play. He can pull it off, and he didn't.
Yeah, he can pull it off 9 times out of 10. The one times he doesn't, he basically leaves an opening for them, and then the fumble gives him the opportunity. This would have been a much different story, Mike and Bob, if that fumble didn't happen, and we're talking about despite Lamar Jackson's heroics, they still can't beat the Chiefs.
They would have won by a field goal, Mitch. They would have gone down the field and won by a field goal.
It's one of my philosophical deals here that many great games, or even most great games, no matter what sport we're talking about, they do include mistakes because you're watching a team rebound from them, or you watch a team take advantage of the other. It's part of the deal. It's sad when that's the way you lose. The Patriots went through this last week. Exact same scenario. They're going for the chip shot, but very makeable game-winning field goal, and Damian Harris fumbles. They're going for the very makeable game-winning field goal last night, and Edwards Hilaire fumbles. By the way, Mr. Odafe Owe certainly made a tremendous athletic play. Yep. The recovery was very, very, very important. Did you see the replay, though? That ball, it didn't necessitate a big punch. He gets too much credit for knocking the ball out. The ball was coming out. He did not have control of that ball, guys, I don't think, at all. I don't think he had good control at all. So it didn't take much to knock the ball out. What really impressed me was his agility to go scramble and secure the fumble.
But by the way, to return to that point that you made, Mike, about fourth and one, and there's an adjunct to that, and that is when it's fourth and one and you have a Mahomes or a Tom Brady or somebody on the other side that has just proven over and over again that they can beat you with a minute left on the clock, you play a different kind of defensive offense, what I would call. And that's what it is. Your offense becomes your defense against letting the other guy back on the field. And that's where I think lessons have been learned in this. And they've been learned, maybe they've been taught by the Patriots, but they were learned against the Patriots too. Teams started to do that kind of thing against the Patriots when Tom Brady was on the other side, because we're not giving the ball back to Tom Brady with a minute to go. And you know the same thing with Patrick Mahomes. You might as well surrender if you're going to give him the ball with a minute to go. And so it changes your offense. You say, we don't even have a choice here. We're playing defense with fourth down offense.
Mitch and Bob, I'm telling you, we're going to see games this year where at the end of games where somebody like Mahomes and Brady has had a big game and the other team, is a point down at the end, okay? They're going to go for two. That was like a two-point conversion. It was like a do-or-die two-point conversion. We're either going to win or lose the game
They had already tried to go for two twice, you know.
We're going to see it at the end of a game, Bobby.
I hope so. I love that. You know, I go back to, Nebraska, but I hoped so. I've always wanted to see that. Hey, there's a play I want to talk about because it is the collaborative play in this game of spectacular individual plays. The collaborative play of the game was that escape that Mahomes had and then threw a pass to Travis Kelce.
Oh, God.
That was the tight end's gold standard run for set the bar for the 2021 season. Okay, tight ends, show me you can match what Travis Kelce did on that run.
I love that he had 109 receiving yards on a night when Lamar Jackson had 107 rushing yards, because in that moment, Kelce looked like as good a runner as there was on the field. That was an amazing run. I mean,
it was a wonderful run.
It's just a collection of great talent. It was one of those games that was, you know, put in the spotlight for a reason on Sunday night, and everybody stepped up. You saw everybody's relative level of talent on these two teams. They're going to meet again in significant games. You just know it. And it's good. You know, I love when teams live up to the billing and live up to the moment. And it was that kind of a game. There were many more like that. We're going to get to them. But first, a word from our friends at Geico. Hey, do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. But you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, because you already have so much to do around your home. So go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. All right, as long as we were talking on Tom Brady, let's jump over to that. He did no rust on the Buccaneers, coming out 2-0 in a decisive win over a feisty. I ended up watching that whole game. I don't know why. But a feistier Atlanta Falcons team than I thought that they would be, given some of their recent problems. But too many turnovers on their part. Really good defense on Tampa Bay's part, and Brady, what do you have? Five touchdown passes.
That's a lot for a 44-year-old guy.
For people who didn't see the game, you know, I didn't see the whole game, but I picked up. It was 25-22 when I stumbled, you know, into it.
Yeah,
it was 25-22.
He had four touchdown passes in the first game. Okay, so he's and by the way, did not the Bucs run the last 20 points of that? It got to 28-25, right?
Yeah, it was very.
And I'm saying Atlanta fought back. They were out of this thing, and they fought back. And then they had a series of just like almost ridiculous turnovers that were
two tipped interceptions, two pick sixes by Mike Edwards, and they were both deflections, as I recall.
You feel for Matt Ryan in those kind of situations.
Yeah, but then I think, as I recall, I want to make sure I'm not getting my mind confused between the terrible passes that were deflections that Zach Wilson threw, which were terrible passes, and those were just plain out terrible.
I saw that game too, and the type that Matt Ryan was victimized by. Let's stay on Brady.
Let's stay on Brady.
Yeah,
he completed passes to 10 different receivers in yesterday's game. He is like a kid in a candy store right now. Again, oh, by the way, did we mention at the age of 44?
He's now joking, Mike. He was joking about 50 again, and you start to think, you know, he's saying it's possible.
He's reimagining the possibilities, and maybe he's not reimagining the possibilities for anybody other than himself. Okay, maybe somebody else will come along someday. But what we are witnessing in real time is simply one of the great sports stories and one of the great sports guys. Do you agree? One of the great sports moments of all time.
Oh, no question.
Well, were either of you expecting a drop off from Tampa Bay when we came into this season?
Well, you just keep saying to yourself, how can it continue? It's got to be show some sign of mortality. Maybe a percentage thing. I said three years ago about Brady at that point. I said, if he deteriorates 10% next year, he's still a top five quarterback. If he deteriorates 15%, 20%, he's still a top 15 quarterback. But you guess what? what deterioration?
I wasn't just even talking just about Brady. I was wondering if there was a perception that Brady and Tampa Bay and Bruce Arians, and they were all caught lightning in a bottle last year, but they weren't necessarily that great a team. And you know, bad things could happen to them this year that didn't happen to them last year.
Yeah.
And from what I've seen in the first two games, which were, you know, challenging games, they have a lot going for them besides the inimitable Tom Brady.
When's the last time you can remember a Super Bowl team that lined up the same 22 from the season before? Talk about unprecedented moments. That's an unprecedented moment.
Yeah, it is. That's just ridiculous to contemplate. But it's true. It's what they did.
Like Mike Evans is I guess better than I thought he was. Chris Godwin, you know, their defense is better than I thought it was. You know, I really thought, and maybe it's just me, I just thought last year was everything coming together at the right moment, and the whole, you know, Brady's new to the franchise thing, and something would happen this year that would just trip them up, that would show them, okay, you know, you don't get to catch lightning in a bottle twice. And it's only two games
in. There's 15 weeks to go, guys. So
yeah, I know,
games
I know. But, but 24 for 36, 276 yards, 5 touchdowns, and no interceptions. It's just, that's a day's work.
Nine touchdowns.
I guess you're saying that you think a rating of 129.2 is good. I mean, I guess you think that. But you know what? Here's what I was thinking watching yesterday. If Brady didn't do this, okay, would Rob Gronkowski have stayed retired with all this football left in him?
Yes, I believe so.
Isn't that nuts?
I mean, I can't prove that, Mike, but my answer to your question is I honestly believe so. I think he wanted to play with Brady and nobody else. I think he was actually on record as saying that, and he's proving it so far. To, you know.
By the way, he's 12 years young. He's 12 years younger. Than Tom Brady is.
Well, they ran that commercial yesterday. It is funny, the one that ends up and you say, "Ma, where are my football pants?"
Oh God, that is Bob, you're reading my mind. Is that an inspired commercial when Brady hears him wrong? Oh my God, it's a great commercial.
Yeah, sometimes you have to say those ad guys do earn their keep. Yeah, yeah. Whatever agency produced that one, they hit a home run on that one. Or excuse me, they threw a game winning touchdown pass on that one. I'll use the right reference. Hey, speaking of which, guys, as fandom, you know, and at the heart, we all start up because we're fans. I happened to be as a good American yesterday, late in the afternoon, winding up an afternoon in a sports bar in Quincy, Massachusetts, and therefore I had the opportunity within seconds, literally now, I'm talking about less than a minute, definitely with the seconds, within seconds, Greg Zuerlein kicked a 56-yard field goal to win a game, and Greg Joseph missed a 37-yard field goal that would have won a game within seconds of each other on adjoining sets.
Did you see this
in the sports bar?
Did you see all that stuff that Mike McCarthy said after the game about why he settled for a 56-yarder at this time? Because he couldn't see the clock properly, and they weren't reading the play clock correctly. And
no.
Because everybody said, well, wait a minute, they could have run another couple plays, and he settles for the 56-yarder, and the guy buries it, but it would have been quite controversial, even if he tried to explain it away. Mitch, do you see that?
You think it would have been controversial if he had missed that? 20
oh
seconds he blew off of that clock. And Mike McCarthy is no stranger to dumb decision making. All that stuff would have come back to them absolutely if they had blown that game. And making your kicker hit a 56-yarder to win it for you is
and to keep you from going
0-2.
And Mitch, to keep you from going 0-2, right?
That's right. That's right. And you know, that was a really interesting game. It went back and forth. Justin Herbert once again just looks like. I mean, he makes some incredible throws. He throws some balls that other quarterbacks wouldn't even consider throwing, and he makes completions on them. You know, in the end, they ended up losing a close game, and the Cowboys.
Dak looks good,
know,
right?
Got even.
Dak looks good.
Dak looks
fine. And I'll
tell
you something about Justin Herbert.
Doesn't look hurt.
Here was a telling moment for me when he was still in college. In that, you guys may remember this. They had no passing game that day in the Rose Bowl, and that kid ran them to that Rose Bowl victory. And I'm thinking, boy, that's something about his athletic character there. Hmm. You know, I didn't say, oh my God, he's going to be the next thing in pro football, but oh my God, this team's going to grow up around this kid, and it might happen this year. I mean, that's, you know, they were at home yesterday. The Cowboys are look pretty good. Okay. But you're right, Mitch, when you watch this kid, there is no doubt in your mind that he's the real thing.
Hey, we're burying the lead on that game, guys. My big takeaway was that, did you know Jerry Jones was born in L.A.?
No.
I didn't either. I had no idea. After all this
history. I call that the lead, Bob. Yeah.
Hey, Mike, did you see the tongue, my tongue firmly in the cheek? Did you notice that?
No.
Okay.
I thought he was born in a Texas oil field.
I mean, really, that's stunning to me. He was born in L.A.
How about this with the Cowboys?
Fit the narrative.
How about Tony Pollard outrushing Ezekiel Elliott? That running game is going to be very much something to pay attention to the rest of the way.
71 yards, yeah.
But Zeke's wallet is a bit thicker, however.
know.
Well, but... going from if we're in one LA quarterback, let's jump over to the other one. Matthew Stafford and the Rams had to travel east to play the Colts after a big Sunday night performance. It would have been very well set up for a letdown. And they played well. I watched that whole game. There were a couple moments where Stafford looked like he was back with the Lions. There were a couple, but for the most part, he got the job done. He's I've never seen this guy so happy. And he has
but
so much
time. But they were kind of lucky, Mitch, that Jacob Eason had the ball at the end and not Carson Wentz.
Yeah, Carson Wentz, once again, just he's just starstruck. I mean, with injuries. And he rolled that ankle. It doesn't, you know, he tried to get back on the field, couldn't at the end. And they were able to close it out and win by three. So the Rams are off to a good start, and a lot of people expecting big things from them. Their defense, you know, remains a huge part of that thing as well. But it is interesting to watch, at least for me, because I think I've seen pretty much every snap of Matthew Stafford's career, to see the same guy with the same skill set able to be so effective when he's on a team that actually protects him or runs their routes correctly or things like that. And, you know, I'm sure there are players in your world and in everybody who's listening to us, who, you know, guys who you really get to know well because they're on your home team, and then you watch them go to another team and use those same skills with such different results. And I think they're going to win a lot of games.
Oh, God. The Rams. All right, listen, before we switch back to the vest pocket, Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray, a word from Omaha Steaks. Okay, fall means football, and football means grilling. At least in our family, it does. That's why, for us, Omaha Steaks are part of the season. Game time is grill time. Omaha Steaks has our fall grilling covered at an amazing deal. Go to omahasteaks.com and enter the code REPORTERS into the search bar and order the deluxe grill out assortment. Over 30 entrees you can share with your family, including my favorites, the bacon-wrapped filet mignons, gourmet jumbo franks, and boneless chicken breasts. Plus, when you use the code REPORTERS, you'll save, wait for this, over 50% on your order and get 12 free burgers. Is that America? 12 free burgers. These are basically a steak between buns. Make delicious meals with your family and give them an experience they will truly cherish with Omaha Steaks. I have been ordering Omaha Steaks for 20 years. When we had our turn of the century party up in Vermont, I had Omaha Steaks shipped in. So guys, you don't have to tell me how great this stuff is.
The simple fact is that it is a carnivore's fantasy delight, and I am a dedicated carnivore still. And this is like it's too good to be true. That when that package, that latest one arrived, my wife's eyes lit up. You can't overpraise it. If that's what you like, then this is, you don't do better.
I'll make it international. I had four of my kids up from our orphanage in Haiti. And they were about to go back, and I said, "What do you want for a last meal?" And they said, "Steaks." And I'm thinking, where am I going to get them to a steakhouse? And I opened my freezer, and there they were. Took them out. I fed the Haitian kids have never had a steak better than that. And unfortunately, I think I spoiled them for the rest of their lives. They're going to want Omaha Steaks forever now.
Well, we're so happy they're with us as a sponsor. Visit OmahaSteaks.com, keyword reporters, and save over 50% when you order the deluxe grill out assortment. Plus, get 12 free Omaha Steaks burgers and keep making memories with the ones you love. That's OmahaSteaks.com, keyword reporters. Guys, Mitch, you were talking about this last week, okay? As much fun as Lamar Jackson is to watch, he's not any more fun to watch than Kyler Murray.
Kyler Murray, I would say, I mean, Lamar Jackson runs forward better than any quarterback in the league. But Kyler Murray runs sideways, backwards, and forward better than any quarterback. There was actually a play in that game yesterday where he ran backwards, turned, went forwards, then went backwards again, then came around the side, whatever, and still managed to get off a play. I mean, he was literally like a mouse, you know, bouncing off the walls. And he's got an arm too. That's the thing. He can really throw the ball. The sky is the limit for this kid.
Don't forget Hale Murray.
I love watching him play.
Yeah, he is fun. Then he makes them appointment TV when he's around. There's no doubt. 5 feet ten. That's what he's listed at. I wonder if he really is.
No, it's and again, they needed a little luck to win the game because the Vikings, oh my God, Mitch, are they talk about a star-crossed team so far. They lose in overtime last week and with a chance to not fall to 0-2, the guy who kicked 250 yarders already in the game, right? He missed an extra point, kicked 250 yarders, misses a 37 yarder.
Yeah. Yep. No.
Yeah. No, that was a game lost by the Minnesota Vikings, as good as Kyler Murray was. And you know, last time we were talking about Kirk Cousins, it was in the, you know, he's not getting vaccinated, nobody's going to want to play for him, play with him mode. I don't know. I still don't think he's vaccinated. And apparently he's playing pretty hard. I don't know how they're juggling all that there. But he looked pretty good yesterday. You know, and this is what, I mean, Kirk Cousins will do that. He'll have games where you'll just say, wow, you know, no wonder they spent that much money on him. And then he'll have games where you go, why did they spend that much money on him? But they lost that game, you know, on that kick. And it's a shame because they really played hard. That was a very close game. It was an interesting game.
Hey, listen, we're going to find out something tonight, okay? That maybe that division, Mitch, that maybe the division is going to be more interesting than we thought and way more competitive than we thought. If the Packers put it on the Lions tonight, which we kind of all expect that they're going to, that's one thing. But if they don't, if this is a good game, okay, and we've seen the Vikings who could just as easily be 2-0 as 0-2, okay, and we've the Bears, who knows what Justin Fields is going to do, because it sounds like this might be a significant knee injury for Andy Dalton. Mitch, it may turn out to be a more interesting division this year.
Well, only if the Packers come back to the pack. You know, they're obviously they lost the first week. I do not think they're going to lose this game tonight. And I think that they'll get back on track. And with the Vikings being 0-2 already, I think that was probably who they were looking as their chief rivals in this thing, depending on what the Bears were able to do with their quarterback situation. So it could be. It could be. Who knows, Mike? It could be. I mean, the NFC East is full of 1-1 teams. You know, we thought they would all have been 0-2, except they have to play each other. So it's early. It's way early to try to make any predictions about what divisions are going to be. But tonight's game, which we'll talk about a little later on, will be interesting.
I know it's early, gentlemen, as we know, we all know. But I have a question for you both. Are you prepared to take the Las Vegas Raiders seriously?
Sure.
Okay.
Oh, no, listen, we were joking with a Raiders fan, our crack producer, Tyler Brewer, before the podcast today. Guys, I'll ask you this question, okay? I will ask you this question.
From sea, with a rollicking song, he speaks along, swaggering boisterously.
Here they come, baby. Here they come.
Okay, Mr. Fancy Pants, here's my question to everybody. Is it possible that you could turn a season around at the end of your first game of the season?
Because, Mike?
Because they were going to lose last weekend, okay? They were going to lose to the Ravens. And you know, who knows what happens if they lose that game? Then they got to go play the Steelers, except they didn't lose it. And instead of being 0-1 and at least having the chance of 0-2, now they're 2-0.
Did you see that throw? That one touchdown throw that Carr made, that on the dime, about 50 yards in the air.
Yeah,
I mean, it was
61 yards in the air.
Okay, is that what it was? Yeah. He only threw for 382 yesterday, because we all know 382 is the old 275, but nonetheless. Yeah.
Listen, John Gruden's got to win some games this
John
year.
John Gruden.
Okay? It makes the sport more interesting, not just to Tyler. It makes the sport more interesting if the Raiders, even in Vegas, are good, okay?
Oh, yeah.
And it would be fun. I'm not rooting against Gruden, okay? He's been a failure so far with the Raiders. And maybe now, the you know, again, 15 games to go, maybe now the program is starting to actually come together.
Well, has there been a quarterback in the league who has shown more flashes of excellence and yet gotten less hype or credit than Derek Carr?
Yeah,
no. I don't know if it's where, you know, they were located, or that the Raiders have just been kind of off the map in recent years or whatever. But Derek Carr, when you actually sit and watch a game that he's quarterbacking, you go, this guy's really good. But he never gets talked about.
No.
In that elite quarterback.
There was the one year he was in the MVP conversation and that's it. No,
can I just interject and give you a what about? Okay. And I'm not saying it's exactly the same, and I'm not saying he's as good as the guy I'm going to reference. But maybe because of what the Raiders have become, there's a Matthew Stafford quality to Derek Carr's career.
That's absolutely correct. That's absolutely correct. Except even worse, I think, because the Raiders have a better reputation overall than the Lions do. But in terms of like sort of being in Siberia and just not getting the correct attention, yeah, there absolutely is. I mean, he's been there since 2014. So this is his, what, eighth year already? And, you know, we're talking about quarterbacks that are in the game for 2 or 3 years, and we talk about them all the time. A guy who's been here since 2014, it's almost like he's almost gone through the chute of attention and come out the other side to forgotten. Only, you know, he's not forgotten. He's 30 years old. He's 6'3". He's got a lot of talent. And maybe this will be the year.
It seems like a good guy, Tyler, right? He's a good guy. He's a good teammate, right?
Yeah, I was just going to interject and say, I mean, and on top of it, he says all the right things. He's a team leader. He's been there. He's all about, I'm a Raider for life. He's not trying to jump ship. He could have left. You know, he signed a long-term deal. Yeah, he's a Raider through and through. I mean, to see his ups and downs as a Raider, I'm a longtime fan. I've been my whole life. To see the downs and then to see him get drafted as a second-round guy, kind of like, hey, this could be the guy. This could be the diamond in the rough. To finally see it potentially kind of come together, it's awesome. Hey, my one caveat, though. Raiders have been, you know, they've done these 2-0 starts. I got to see him win one more. They play the Dolphins on Sunday, a game that they should win at home. If they win that and go 3-0, you guys are going to be hearing me on this podcast a lot
more. Bandwagon, huh? Yeah.
All right, I have a question for one of my good friend panelists here. Mr. Mike Lupica,
yes,
I don't
sir.
Know where you were yesterday afternoon, but wherever it was, could you hear the boos emanating from MetLife Stadium?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's, for the second week in a row, I'm going to tell the same joke, okay? If only the Jets could find a quarterback like Sam Darnold. You know what I'm saying, guys? If they could only ever get that was as nightmare. Listen, we knew it was going to be bad. Belichick against a rookie quarterback. Not just a rookie quarterback playing his second game, okay? And the decision-making, the panic. At least he didn't talk about seeing ghosts afterwards the way Sam Darnold did one time after he got lit up by the Patriots. Listen, I think the kid's going to be fine. And somebody said this afterwards. Might have been Phil Simms, okay? That might be the best defense this kid sees, you know, for the first stretch of season. He got thrown into it yesterday. But at a time when Mac Jones was efficiently guiding the Patriots down the field, and Mac Jones wasn't great yesterday.
No.
The running game was the star. Yeah, it was a tough day. It was a tough day to be a Jets fan, guys. Well, they're all tough days to be Jet fans, okay? But it was a tough day because there had to be a little bit of part of somebody going to the game thinking, maybe we get to start fresh against Belichick today. Well, not so fast.
No. I got stuck watching that whole game because I had a friend come over who doesn't have the NFL package and he's a Patriots fan. So, you know, against my better judgment, I literally watched the entire game here in Detroit.
Well, so
as if it's
I,
not
but...
as if it's not enough torture to have to watch Detroit football. I had to watch that. And he was terrible. Okay, his decision making was awful. Those throws, you know, clearly they say to him, "Look, just throw it wherever you think, and you're a work in progress. So we're not going to bench you." He's not looking over his shoulder, but those were bad interceptions. And conversely, I thought Mac Jones played maybe a little better, Mike, than maybe you thought. He was 22 for 30, 186 yards. he made a lot of good reads. You know, he didn't overthrow guys. You know, he seems to be calm when he's in there. I'm not awarding him second coming of anybody. No. But you know, for the guy who was the last of the big time quarterbacks picked in this past draft, he certainly looks like he's gotten used to it faster than some of the other ones, including you know, all the guys who got drafted ahead of him.
Well, that's
he's going to win the most games. I don't think there's any question. What's interesting, Bobby, and I'll ask you this, okay? Mm-hmm. And it's only two games. We couch everything we're saying today by with that addendum, okay? Bob, can they be competitive in that division against the Bills?
I think the reason I think yes, the defense is legit, and I think and he doesn't, he's not going to beat himself. I don't think I'm really looking forward to those games. Believe me. In fact, by the way, when I saw the Bills score yesterday, I immediately wanted to rush to see what Josh Allen's numbers were, and they weren't anything. That's not why they won the game. No, I'm just saying he didn't have to be spectacular. 35-0.
Sunday, October 3rd, Bob. Have you circled Sunday, October 3rd at Gillette Stadium when? That team from Tampa comes up to play the Patriots.
I thought I heard someone around here talking about
have
that the other day,
that one,
Mike.
Mitch, because I
thought I heard
have.
Someone say that, Mike, and I have to
By
check
the way,
and see who's coming in.
We're talking about, you know, these highly drafted quarterbacks and their performances. Trevor Lawrence, 14 for 33.
Yeah. Yep.
With two interceptions, a total of 118 yards, which he used to get in the first two passes in Clemson. This will be very interesting if this kind of thing continues there for him down in Jacksonville. You know, very quickly he's going to have more losses in the NFL than he had in his entire college career, more interceptions, more bad plays. And, you know, I know everybody's predicting him to be a superstar in the NFL, but I remember even John Elway, as great as he was predicted to be, you know, when he came into the game and started losing quickly, it took a while to shake that off. You know, when you've always won in college and high school, and then you come into the pros and you just keep losing, and you're with a bad franchise, it can scar you, and it takes a while to work through. And you know, they'll see the price that they paid for starting him from the very beginning. But it is interesting that, you know, 14 for 33. I mean, that's terrible numbers in the NFL versus Mac Jones's.
Mitch, they might be looking at like 2-15 or worse this season. Right? That bad?
Yeah.
Isn't that what we expected? Maybe he didn't actually, we thought they were going to be terrible.
Well, we'll see who has a bigger problem with him or Urban Meyer.
One more game. Sam Darnold had a big game yesterday for the Panthers. They play somebody. I don't think they have a hard opponent on Thursday. They could easily go to 3-0.
They play the Texans. Houston.
They could, but 305 passing yards and. He looks like what they thought he was going to be when they took him with the number 3 pick in the draft out of SC. And I tweeted this out yesterday, guys. So maybe Darnold wasn't the problem. Maybe it was the team and the organization that was the problem.
Well, with all due respect to Sam Darnold, to me, the story of this is Jameis Winston and this game. Because
your guy,
after
Mitch, guy.
After the first, well, I'm sorry. I hate to be proven correct, but last week when everybody was singing his praises, I still said Jameis Winston is still Jameis Winston. And Jameis Winston was the Jameis Winston that everybody dreads yesterday. Two interceptions, 11 for 22, 111 yards total. You know, he made some bad decisions. And that's what you worry about with Jameis Winston. That is really a tale of 2 weeks. You know, that the first week, everybody couldn't stop talking about him. And, you know, they beat Green Bay. I mean, it was ridiculous, you know, 38-3. And then they come back and lose to Carolina 26-7. Is there a more ricochet team in the NFL of those two games than that?
Mitch, they had 111 passing yards. They had 48 rushing yards. The Saints, okay?
The Saints.
Mm. And 19 of those rushing yards were Jameis Winston running for his life. That might be as bad. I think the Jaguars had more total offense yesterday than the Saints did.
Yeah. That's saying something. Yeah, that was a big one. Very surprising.
Before we exit football, guys, do you want to take just note of the injuries? It was a pretty, at least four quarterbacks that we know of. Tua, Wentz, Mayfield, and Dalton all were injured to some degree yesterday. And
oh, yeah. Hey, Bob, and Mitch, hey, before we get to a brief conversation about college football, okay? If Tua is going to be out for a while, the Deshaun Watson, that whole controversy yep. is going to bubble back to the surface, and whether he will get to play, because they have very much been a team mentioned in the Deshaun Watson, and I use this word pejoratively, sweepstakes.
Sweepstakes, yeah. It's not much of a sweepstakes, is it? No, that's going to be huge. And Carson Wentz getting injured again, and yeah, there were a lot of... And a word about tonight, and then we'll move on to college football. But, you know, the Packers starting the season in 0-1 in humiliating fashion. I mean, people have forgotten already, but they lost 38-3, like I just mentioned, to start the season. And if they struggle against the lowly Lions out there in Green Bay, there's going to be a lot of talk yep. about, you know, what exactly did Aaron Rodgers bring back with him karma-wise when he came back from his Hawaiian vacation and his walkabout, you know, gazing at his navel.
Yep. But Mitch, this is a very, very eminently compelling and watchable story going in tonight. That now we'll find out if it's a compelling and watchable football game.
All right, a word from our good friends at Geico.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
So there was a college football slate, and for the first time in a long time that people can remember, Alabama got tested by a regular season opponent. And it was really close right up until the end, until really the final couple of plays. Florida stays with them, 31-29. Ultimately, Alabama wins the game. But did we see a flash of mortality in the Alabama Crimson Tide?
Defensively, yeah, ahead, clearly, yes. Yep. And so that's the one sign of hope for the one team that we think has a really good chance to get them, Georgia, down the road. So, that's a word that I was using, mortality. There's a sense of it anyway. But it's not for – there aren't many other people, though, that can take advantage of it. There's only a few, and Georgia's one of them.
And they're in the swamp, okay? But, guys, isn't it amazing how still in pro football or college football or any football – a missed extra point is like it gives off a beam of light on the scoreboard all day long. That missed extra point was why Florida didn't get to kick an extra point when they had to go for two, because it was 31-29. And guys, I hated that call. What an odd call on to try to tie Alabama and force overtime when Emory Jones is like, you know, did that thing, that belly thing where he and the running back are running together.
I'm with you, Mike. They were effective running the ball the whole game, and that play works when you're on your 40-yard line, you know, and the whole thing is spread out. It doesn't work when you're down at the end zone and everybody is all crunched in on top of you. That's when you want to go outside, which they were really good at. And instead, you're right, they were like Siamese twins, you know, they were conjoined, and they couldn't separate. And then by the time they kind of pushed themselves into the meat of the Alabama defense, and then, you know, hand the ball off and they don't go anywhere. I thought they could have scored that two-point thing. Now, what would have happened after that is it doesn't mean that they're going to end up winning the game. But I thought they could have. They had the momentum. If they had just gone to the outside or run some different play, they had Alabama back on its heels defensively, and I thought that was a poor choice for that two-point conversion.
Yeah, guys, I just checked the schedule, and it's not very promising for the rest of the world. I really only see one possibility and that is on October 9th at Texas A&M. Other than that, Mississippi State, Tennessee, LSU.
You know the defense will get better, Bobby.
New Mexico. There's one. How about, what do you think the odds or the spread's going to be on the New Mexico State at Alabama on November 13th? Arkansas, who are ranked, and Auburn, of course, that's always a possibility, but, you know, that's out, and it happens to be at Auburn this year.
Hey, Mitch, what do you make of Ohio State so far?
They are not, you know, hitting on all cylinders. I mean, Tulsa should not be in the same conversation, and they had to fight them off. So obviously, you know, the loss to Oregon set them back. They're not used to early season setbacks, and they are not clicking right now. I mean, Tulsa that should have been you know, one of those 63-3 games. That should have been, dare I say, what Michigan ended up doing to Northern Illinois. And so if they didn't have a couple of turnovers and things like that, they might not have won the way that they did. So they're not there yet. I mean, but what are they now? No, ranked number 10. I mean, they're not used to it.
They won and dropped, Mitch. Those ratings don't
Well,
mean
if you watch
much, okay.
the game, I mean, you know, you understand why they won and dropped. They're not, you know, taking on a team that hadn't won a game yet. And, you know, I mean, they actually had to struggle a little bit. That doesn't make any sense.
No, it's
41
to 20. The headline of this weekend was Alabama. And you know what? It might be good for Alabama that they got tested on the road by a very good Florida team, by the way. That's a very good Florida team. I don't think their season is over by any means because they lost by 2 points to Alabama at home.
No, and keep your eyes on Cincinnati. This is going to be yet another one of these.
I know.
Yet another one of these, you know, could it possibly a team from the American Athletic Conference get into the playoff? And we'll see. You know, they're 3-0, and but they're so highly ranked.
By the way, Mitch, you did a parting shot the other day on Nebraska, Oklahoma, and it turned out to be a pretty good
way better than I thought. Yes,
pretty good game, right?
I would revise that parting shot. it was way closer than anybody thought, which does not speak well for Oklahoma. But you know, maybe the idea of getting back together again after 11 years or whatever, Nebraska was inspired.
That brings up the whole topic of college realignment in both football and basketball, which is one of my sore spots of being a sports fan. The abrogation of common sense and rivalry, the idea that it's been 11 years since they played, when we all remember, you know, that game of the century in 71 and what those games meant year after year after year. And somebody typical, pull me off the soapbox.
Yeah, right. I'm pulling you off because
Mitch,
it's time for our parting shot.
Pull them off.
Yeah.
Okay.
Move over, pal. Parting shot time. Brought to you by Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com and make sure to use the keyword reporters. And you can save over 50% when you order the deluxe grill out assortment. Plus, you'll get 12 free Omaha Steaks burgers, 12 of them free, and you'll be able to keep making memories with the ones you love. That's omahasteaks.com, keyword reporters. Simply go to the search box at the top of the webpage and type in reporters there to get the special deal. Parting shot time, Mike Lupica, lead us off.
Now, parting shots.
Listen, there's players on every baseball team who the postseason will miss out on watching if their teams miss out on the postseason. But the one who will be missed the most is Bryce Harper, in the midst of perhaps the best month of his career and trying to carry the Phillies back to October. I wrote about him yesterday and how he's reminded baseball what a great player and a great star he still is in his 10th season, even if he's still just 28 years old. He's the MVP in the National League, whether the Phillies make it or not. And even with one of the biggest contracts in the world, listen to what Harper says. Quote, "I just want to play my game. I just want to show up every night, make sure I'm playing right field, batting third, and helping this team win." So Harper's not just a total star again, but sounding like we wish all stars would.
Speaking of baseball, are you a fan? Okay, quick. Who won the AL batting title last year? And who won the NL batting title? You don't know, do you? Of course you don't know. The answers are DJ LeMahieu in the AL and Juan Soto in the NL. My point is that unlike 100, 50, 25, or even 10 years ago, no one cares. There are days of glorification for Ty Cobb with his 12. Hannes Wagner and Tony Gwynn with their 8. Stan Musial and Rod Carew with their 7. Ted Williams with his 6. Wade Boggs with his 5. And even Miguel Cabrera with his 3 are over. Batting average, per se, has been devalued in favor of on-base percentage and, of course, OPS. The only time anybody pays attention to a batting average these days is if someone is in Triple Crown contention, as Vladdy Jr. is right now. So, who's leading the two leagues? I don't know. Believe me, 10 years ago, I'd have known.
Some football teams go charging into the spotlight of Monday Night Football, and some move a little more cautiously. Take the Detroit Lions tonight. Normally, a losing franchise like Detroit might be thrilled to get national spotlight in a primetime game. Except when it's against the Green Bay Packers, and there's this little thing called memory that comes haunting us like a Stephen King character. December 3rd, 2015, Thursday Night Football, prime time. The Lions actually beating the Packers in front of a national TV audience. Last play of the game, Aaron Rodgers heaves the ball 61 yards on a Hail Mary, and it is caught by tight end Richard Rodgers for the win. This after the Lions blew a 20-0 lead in the second half. This after a controversial face mask penalty on the Lions extended the game one more play. This after a lifetime of humiliation by Packers quarterbacks. Enough. You get my point. Not everybody loves the idea of primetime football against its toughest division rival, where the chance for national humiliation looms large and, given our history, even likely. Quite frankly, when it comes to facing the Packers, Sunday at 1 would have been just fine for Lions fans. That's going to wrap it up for today's program. We do this every Monday and Thursday, so we'll be back in a few days. If you like what you heard, leave us a comment, leave us a rating. We always appreciate those. Stitcher, Apple, Spotify, Pandora, the places where you can get the Sports Reporters podcast and anywhere else where popular podcasts are found. Until we see you in a few days, on behalf of Bob Ryan and Mike Lupica, I'm Mitch Albom saying have a great week.